My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time for today's travel and cruise industry news. With the latest from travel and cruises around the world, here's your host, Chili Falls.
Hey, good morning and welcome to Tuesday's Travel and Cruise Industry News podcast. On this, the 12th day of March, 2024, with special guests this morning that I'll introduce here in a minute. The main topic today is going to be thoughts about Antarctica, with our special guest, of course. There are a couple minor news stories, nothing really major, but we'll get to eventually. The headlines in the news are California cruise port limits ship calls. Two new ships ace their first health inspections. Cancellations from a rescheduled dry dock. MSC adjusts the Seascape itineraries. A climate protest in New Zealand, which left me giggling. And no, I'm not giggling about the climate protest. I'm giggling about the protest, what happened. And lots more here at 11 o'clock today. All right, guys. Today is National Baked Scallops Day. I can deal with that. I don't have to ask Amanda if she's got any scallops. I could stand us going out and getting some scallops. If you're listening via the podcast, you're always welcome here. You can access the podcast via my blog, which is accessadventure.net, or wherever you get your podcasts from, all the big hitters, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podchaser, Pandora, Apple, any of them. Just search for Travel and Cruise Industry News, and up pops the Fat Travel Guy. All right. Getting on to the business at hand, I have a very special guest today. By now, you guys all know her. She's been, I have to ask her this because I'm not sure what year she actually started in the cruise business. And she might not want to say because that might hint to her age, which she might not want to say that. She was in the cruise industry for a long time. And she just got home from being on an Oceania ship. She's back home now. Well, she's not actually in Cozumel. She's across the little bit of a pond there. So we'll have her tell you where she is. You know, she's been on this show a bunch of times. She and I have gotten together a bunch of times. I love her to death. So with no further ado, folks, let me bring in Elizabeth on location. Elizabeth, oh my God, welcome back to the Travel and Cruise Industry News podcast.
Great. Thank you for that introduction. And Chili, you should know me well enough to know that I do not care if anyone knows my age or how long I've been at sea. 31 plus years is how many years I've been at sea, to be exact.
So you started in 19...
whatever that was, yeah. 31 plus years ago, as of
1993?
October 23rd of whatever year that was, 31 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah, what year is it now? The sad part is I actually started cruising 20 years before that.
Yeah, well, how old are you?
Of course, you know, that was Christopher Columbus was on the first cruise I took. So,
well, we always joke that my first ship was the Ark, but you know.
Yeah. All right. So you're not in Cozumel if anybody happens to drop into Cozumel today and say, oh, let's call Elizabeth. You're not there.
Right. I am over in Playa del Carmen, but first and foremost, I will be going over to Cozumel soon to see my good friends. I have to give a shout out to Alma and Tandan over at the No Name Bar because I know they're like, when are you coming over? And I will be over there soon. But they even had a welcome back sign for me, and I wasn't there yet to see it. But what a great place. If anybody's going to Cozumel, No Name Bar is the place to go, although that's, you know, the cruise secret, but it's all out now. But anyway, yeah, that's where many of us spent our entire pandemic days, was at the No Name Bar, because they're good to
and
us.
And it's
good
also one of two locations in my illustrious career that I managed to flip a damn scooter on my head.
I was there to witness that, yes.
Yes, you were.
But at least you lived to tell about it.
I did. Okay. So we all know that you're not a cold weather fan.
No. And although
you give me
I'm
hell because I
right
love
now.
Alaska and, you know, Alaska, it's cold. But it seems like for the last month, you've been down there in the Antarctica.
Actually, starting in December.
Yeah. It seems like every time I looked up, there was ice.
Every time I looked up, there was ice, and it wasn't in my drink, so no bueno. Yeah, we went through around the Cape, 3 different times while I was on the beautiful Oceana Marina, and the first time was in December, January time, and then again, 2 more times. They're lengthy cruises. They were on average around 24-day cruises that we were doing down there. So it was fascinating. I must say, not being a cold weather person at all, I stayed inside for a lot of it, but some of the most spectacular photographs I got were actually from the window of my stateroom. So really some amazing things that I saw, and pictures just don't do it justice.
You never actually got out and got on the ice while you were down there.
No, nobody on a cruise ship is actually able to get out on the ice. It's only some small expedition small expedition ships that actually let you get off and walk around anywhere out there. But we were able, because our ship was small enough, we had an amazing captain, 2 different captains while we were actually 3 different captains when I was down there. But one of them, Captain Mario, was, in my opinion, one of the best captains I've ever sailed with. And he got us into some amazing places and into some places early. That's why you have some photos of me on land in Ushuaia and some other things. There we were. We had bad weather forecast. And so they got us in a day early. So all the crew were able to go ashore that evening and experience it. And then the next day we had a full day in port as scheduled. But we went through Drake Passage 3 different times, and it was
How was
nothing.
The weather in Drake's Passage?
I've had far worse weather in the Caribbean and Tasmanian, the Tasman Sea, and even in the Pacific. It was nothing. We really wanted it to be rocky so we could at least say we experienced it. And it was nothing. I was really let down on the last cruise. That's all. Everybody was all, you know, it's going to be really, really rough, rocky weather. And they made announcements, and there was even email notices sent to all of the crew and staff saying, secure everything, make sure everything is, you know, really secure in your areas. And next day I was like, that's it? Nothing? It was nothing. It was nothing compared to many, many different experiences I've had at sea. So anyway, if people are afraid of sailing Antarctica because of Drake Passage, okay. Go for it. It wasn't bad.
Now,
it wasn't
one
bad
of the other things, before we get to the pictures to go over, you were not able to go out and like discover new colonies of penguins.
Well, some people were. I should send you some photos from one of my colleagues who was able to get out and see a lot of the penguins. I unfortunately had to work and I wasn't able to get out to the all-day tours where they take you to see the penguins. But the guests all saw them. But, you know, I just saw other people's photographs.
Yeah, well, so. I can't see you getting out and all that snow and ice to look at penguins anyway.
You know what? There you go. There was one day I walked across deck because it was so majestic. The scenery was amazing. And the Oceana Marina is not a huge ship. It's 1,200 guests. It's not a big vessel. But I walked across the deck with a jacket on, you know, and crossed the deck just to take some photographs outside. It was a brilliant, clear blue sky, gorgeous day. By the time I got to the other side, my hands were aching. And somebody stopped me, one of the guests, and he said, "Oh, it's not that bad." And I'm like, it was so cold. I come from cold weather originally, but
yeah,
hell no. It was way colder than I thought it was going to be. And it was, even the Canadians were complaining about how cold it was. And everybody was bundled up. I didn't have the cold weather gear as you will see in a moment, to get out there and spend all day out there taking photographs, but you didn't have to.
Even that picture I showed, you know, that's a jacket, but it's not like I wear when I'm in Alaska. I mean, I've got an Arctic freaking thing with the hood, and, you know.
That jacket, actually.
I wear my Elmer Fudd hat, too.
Yeah. That jacket in that photograph is actually one that was loaned to me by the general manager at the time. And it was super warm. The jacket was great because that's an Oceana jacket that's made for the crew who have to be outdoors.
Oh, okay.
And so it's really heavy. It was my hands that didn't have any gloves or anything. So
yeah, we'll get to that. All right. These are going to probably be in screwed up order because of the way that you've sent them to me. And I have no idea what's when. So I'm just going to start going through them and you just start talking.
All right. Well, this actually was a photograph taken from my window. And that's the thing. I'd be in the office and then I would, you know, during my lunch break, I'd be in my room in my cabin and I could just see all of these amazing sights. And we had commentary going on throughout the day by a number of people from our Antarctic team. And you can just keep going through some of these photos, Chili. They were just amazing, as you can see. And you don't really get the full scale of it. These were huge. I mean, if a ship was next to it, these aren't just little floating chunks of ice. They're massive in size. And it's, you know, again, zoomed in from my window. But some of them we were just passing. We went through an area called Iceberg Alley. And every cruise we went through, it was different. We saw different things. We actually got to see Deception Island, which hence the name Deception Island. It was something that rarely anyone gets to see. And it was a clear day when we got to see Deception Island, and it was pretty amazing. And there was a whale one day. Here's the thing. We have these commentators who would come on and they would say, on the port side at, you know, 11 o'clock, there is a sighting of some whales, or on the starboard side at about 3 o'clock. And they would tell you where they were going to be. So you would be on the lookout for them. My room was on the starboard side. And so I just kept my camera, got my phone aimed at it. So I got, there's a whale's tail there. But you would see little spurts of water. And those who were brave enough to stay outside during the whole thing got to see a lot more than those of us who were wimps and stayed inside to watch it. But the
marine life
was amazing.
On a smaller ship, I've not been on a 1,200 passenger ship. Yeah, for like 40 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. So on a 1,200 passenger ship, when they announce that and say, okay, folks, on starboard side, there's whales sighted, and everybody runs to starboard, does the ship tilt any?
Not at all.
Okay. I was worried about a big fat guy like me running over there that I just tip it over.
No. You don't feel a difference at all. But there was actually so much wildlife that we would see that if you were on starboard side and it was going on the port side, you didn't even go over there to look. It was just, there was wildlife everywhere. And literally, it actually got annoying at one point. I was sitting at my desk and the announcements were coming through on a speaker right above my desk. And this is a cool one. But they'd make this commentary and whales, 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 whales. And you're like, okay, enough already. We all know there are whales out there. But they would identify what types of whales they were. And after a while, it just was like, okay, just be on the lookout. You don't need to tell us every time there are whales. That's how many whales we saw. They were constant around the ship. Now, this is a really cool iceberg right here that you can see. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, was this a big-ass polar bear that took a chunk out of one?
There you go. Yeah. I mean, interesting, the colors of these icebergs, too. And if you can see over to the right-hand side of this one, there actually is, it was really blue. And there are different types of icebergs. I wasn't all that familiar with it, obviously, before. I hadn't really studied the icebergs, but the bergy bits and there are really flat ones as well. Some look more like marshmallows. There are a couple of photographs that I had where that you could see three different types of icebergs all within a small range of one another. So every time you looked out the window, it was something different. Just what Mother Nature can do is just absolutely incredible. And like I said, these are photos that were just taken during my break time. I was working full hours those days, so I didn't have any extra time off. So imagine what people got to see who were, you know, really watching it all day long. And granted, I did have a TV in my right next to my office, or right next to my desk. So I always kept it on the view from the bridge, and you could see what was going on all the time. So it was really
incredible.
I have
found that bridge cameras are a godsend to stuff going on.
Absolutely.
Especially in my situation where, because I'm in a chair, if I try to get on deck with a crowd of people, I'm not likely to be able to see anyway. So I discovered the cameras, that gives you a chance to sit in your cabin and see everything. Maybe not as like if you see it live, but you still get to see it.
Well, you know what? It made you realize what was going on. But like I said, there were a number of times where I was in my room and I just kept I had floor to ceiling glass on in the room I was in. So I didn't have a balcony, but I was in a guest stateroom. So a lot of times people booking rooms like that don't realize that they're incredible rooms that have floor to ceiling window in there. So there are some photographs that you'll see of me personally, and those were taken from my room, even though I'm bundled up because it was cold, even standing by the window in my room. You know, it was cold out there, man. Oh, okay. Here's a funny one. My friend Paul from Bermuda will laugh when he sees this. I've sold Breitling watches before. As many of you know, I'm in the jewelry industry as well. And when I was in Bermuda, we sold Breitling watches. And they always give you these special gloves, whatever brand, Cartier, Tag Heuer, Breitling, whatever. You have special gloves to polish the watches and handle the watches so that when somebody buys a nice watch, you're not, you know, you're not fingerprinting it or scratching it up. And so whenever you handle the watches, you wear these gloves by that brand. Well, those were the only gloves I own. And it was so cold outside. I'm like, I'm putting my Breitling gloves on. So Breitling to the rescue in Antarctica. So I had my Breitling polishing gloves on, walking around on deck. It was so freaking cold. But
were they warm?
They were. They were better than having bare. They were better than having bare hands.
Better than being naked hands.
Naked hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, they did the trick. They did the trick. Yeah. But you can see these photographs just don't do it justice. It was absolutely spectacular. And even though I'm not a fan of the cold, the scenery was something that, you know, it's a once in a lifetime thing you get to see.
I love Alaska, but even Alaska.
Alaska.
Yes, they've got the glaciers and stuff, but it's nothing like this.
Nothing like this. Nothing at all. Yeah. Every moment we had on my last cruise, we had 3 solid days of nonstop scenery like this. It you just couldn't take your eyes from it. And we'd be in the office and somebody like, oh my God, go outside. And we'd run out. We had a side deck that we could go out on. And it was just breathtaking. Well, it was breathtaking because it was freezing to death, but it was breathtaking, the scenery there. Unreal. And we had so many days where it was just that clear and beautiful. And while you might see some clouds now and again, the clouds, it's like with a good sunset, the everything kind of reflected off of those clouds and made it just unbelievable. Now, one thing that you don't have a photograph of, and we were fortunate enough twice, we got to see the largest iceberg in the world. It's called A23A, for those of you who know your icebergs and all of that. And the amazing thing about A23A is that it is the size of, it's the largest iceberg in the world. It's not that spectacular to look at. It's flat. It's just a big flat iceberg. And when I took photographs of it, it looked just like you were looking at the horizon, land in the horizon. It wasn't anything to look at in that sense. But the awe-striking thing about it was that it's, when I say the largest in the world, it's 3 times the size of New York City. It weighs 1 trillion tons. Imagine that. I don't even know what that is. It covers about 1,500 square miles. So,
holy cow,
1500 square miles. I don't know what that is,
so
in meters.
Hot Air Tom could mix drinks for a long time with that ice.
Into his next lifetime and the next one and the next one and the next one. And see this picture of me freezing to death? I'm inside my room. It looks like I was outside, but I wasn't.
Did you don't even own Long Johns, do you?
What? No. Long,
do you know what Long Johns are? Yeah, you do. You're from Indiana, for God's sakes.
I do know what they are, but no, I don't. I only own 2 pairs of trousers. And they're thin. They're what I wore on the plane to get here. So it wasn't like they were wool or anything heavy. I don't even own a pair of blue jeans. So, no, I wasn't dressed for this weather. That's another beautiful one. I mean, again, what you don't see in some of these photographs, there were whales everywhere.
Yeah.
And like that photo, I would look at the clouds, you know? I mean, it was just unbelievable. I can't say enough great things about Antarctica. Even though I don't like the cold, it's something that if you're fortunate enough to be able to travel different places, the good thing is on either end of this, you get warm weather. So you're only down in the cold for maybe 6 or 7 days. And then we ended up in Rio and Buenos Aires and different places in Uruguay. I mean, Punta del Este. I mean, beautiful, beautiful places. And you're at the beach on one end, and then it's cold weather at the other. Yeah, people were constantly saying, well, we didn't know how to pack. And we had to bring so much luggage because we had winter clothes, and then we had our summery clothing as well. So this is my favorite iceberg that I saw. That's not my favorite photo, though. What you guys don't know is at the last minute, Chili and I were like looking at photographs, and I'm like, you don't have my favorite photos. And so didn't you get the other one on there? See, this is one I think.
I don't know what order they were in. Jammed them up.
This is one of my favorites right here. This one was right next to the other one you should have coming up as well. Looked like a big fluffy marshmallow. And this one. See, this is one of those icebergs that you would see that if the ship was like right next to that, it would be like a little dot next to it. This thing was massive, 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 massive. And the colors, again, like in this one, were incredible, where you see all of the blue ice as well. And again, that's my favorite iceberg photo. The sun was setting. I'll tell you this interesting story. It was like the day was done, and we'd finished work, and I went back to my room. I was getting ready to go for dinner, and I just glanced over, and boom, right there in the window was this incredible view of icebergs. And this one, with the sun setting on it, was so incredible. And it was the talk of the ship later on. Everybody was like, oh my God, did you see that with the sun setting? And you know, another thing that we didn't really look at, there are a couple of other days that we sailed through the Chilean fjords, and we saw loads of glaciers as well. And so that was another thing that you see on that particular cruise. And, you know, that's a big thing when you're up in Alaska, but sorry, Alaska. Alaska ain't got nothing on Antarctica. Antarctica is just truly amazing. Anybody who's been down there, and that's the thing. You just don't get there. There aren't that many ships that go down there. Once in a while, we saw an NCL ship, and we saw a couple of Viking ships. And we saw a Holland America ship one day. But those were the only cruise lines that we saw down there. We did see when we were in Buenos Aires the day that I disembarked, we did see a Princess ship in port. But so I know there are other cruise ships down there, but that's, I think, one of the nicest things about Oceania. For those of you who like to cruise, and I think you do if you're watching this channel, Oceania is by far and above the best line to view Antarctica from. It's not massive, it's not big, but it's not too small. They get you into these amazing places that the big ships can't go into. The only downfall, and let me say it for the record, is that, and think of this, people, you're so far removed from the world, so far removed from the rest of the world, I should say, is that you don't get good Wi-Fi. You're just out of the footprint of the satellite imagery. And as a result, you know, there were days where we didn't have good internet. Some people blew their head off. And other people are like, we're here to enjoy it, things. We don't need to be online every second. So, you know, that's a bit of a frustration for people when you're down there, but it's just how it is. So enjoy the sights and the beautiful scenery when you're in a place like that.
All right. Laura says that you should have had a shot of traditional Canadian moose milk to keep you warm. I don't know what Canadian moose milk is.
I'm guess going with the vegan is. Thing on that one. So sorry. I'm sure that has some kind of alcohol in it.
I'm trying to slide up and see if there's... Oh, Hot Air Tom says that he thinks the polar bear one taking the bite out. He thought Chili took a bite out of the iceberg. Kiss my big fat butt, Hot Air Tom. Todd says Elizabeth is living the dream. Yeah.
There you go. Well, you know what? I've never argued that point. Most definitely. I've been very fortunate, and hopefully I continue to get to live that dream. So hopefully we'll be seeing you soon on another ship. So that's what I'm hoping for. Well, coming up. In the
one
next,
of the things while you're home, I have got to, and I don't have anything booked coming that way now. Everything that I've got booked is either transatlantic for half of next year. Hot Air Tom and I are going back and forth across the Atlantic a bunch of times. I'm going to Canada in September, up to Quebec, and then back to Boston. And then my Alaska cruise this summer. So I've got some open time. I just got to find something that comes to Cozumel and make you get on the ferry and come back across and meet me.
Yeah. Do you know what? You mentioned the other day that you didn't know if it was easy to get over on the ferry from Cozumel to Playa del Carmen. And you may have forgotten, I did film that once a long time ago, and it is not easily accessible for anyone to get, especially if you're in a scooter.
That was this kind of a small boat that you went across for a party day, wasn't it?
No. I went on the ferry, the regular ferry. On the regular ferry. It is not wheelchair friendly. It has a ramp. Yes, you can. Somebody would have to push you over it. And then it is not an easy thing. Yes, it can be done. But in an automatic scooter or chair like you have, no, hell no. And then just once you get over to Playa del Carmen, for example, it's like up a bumpy cobblestone type of street. It is not easy in the slightest, and no can do.
All right. So Laura says moose milk is Canadian whiskey, vodka or dark rum with Kahlua, occasionally prepared coffee, with a combo of whole milk, cream condensed milk, eggnog, or vanilla ice cream. Okay, now that does sound, I would try some moose milk.
Well, like I said, vegan, not going to happen for me.
That's nothing like your Aperol Spritz.
Don't act like that's some frou-frou drink. That's the farthest. You're the pina colada man, so don't go there.
I have pina coladas on occasion. Yeah, on occasion.
Every time he cruises,
I like to get the umbrellas every now and then, and I hold it over my head, you know. but for the most part, I'm Elijah Craig.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I like my red wine, you know. I keep it simple. I'm not a fancy frou-frou drink person. You know, ask my friends at No Name Bar where my name is on the menu.
Yes, it is. It is. I've been there several times. I've been there a couple of times without you, as a matter of fact.
I know. How'd that happen?
Well, because you were gone. You were out living the dream.
I was
roaming around Cozumel. Where the hell is Elizabeth? And oh my God, here's another name. I'll go visit them a while, see if she's in there. But you were hell in Argentina. You know?
There you go. Yeah. We got to go to some cool places. And there was another one. I'm sure you showed it on your show once. And I went ashore. We had a charter for 10 days. I think you might have mentioned this in February, where we had a Canadian auto parts company who chartered the entire ship for 10 days in Brazil. And we went to, so I got some time off, and I got to go to some places that I didn't know even existed. And I went ashore with a friend of mine who was the shore excursions manager, and I couldn't even pronounce the name of the place that we went to. And now I'm looking for it desperately on the piece of paper that I have in front of me, because I'm like, I again wouldn't be able to, oh, I wouldn't be able to say the name of it. Yeah. Because I asked him, I was filming and I said, how do you pronounce the name of the place? But the thing that was interesting, we were in this place, it was in Brazil, and it's called Balneário Camboriú. Balneário Camboriú. God, I hope I said that right. Anyway,
I had to do the how do you pronounce this thing when I did that on the show, so I would be close to
Camboriú, because it's R-I-U at the end, and Balneário is like Rio at the end, R-I-O. Yeah. I looked out my window that day thinking it was going to be just this little tender port that we were going into. And it was a bazillion high-rise buildings. It put South Beach to shame. It was what I thought like Rio was going to look like. It was incredible. And I'm like, I felt like the Beverly Hillbillies. Like, how did I not know this place even existed? What an ignorant American I am. I'll confess. I've traveled around the world. Who knew this place existed?
Yeah.
I want to know if any of your viewers have ever before now heard of Balneário Camboriú in Brazil. Who? It's
I'd
huge.
Never heard of it either.
It's amazing. It's a beautiful place. And I was like, what an ignorant fool I was by not knowing about it.
Unfortunately, and I say this about all of us, Americans tend to be very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Ignorant when it comes to geography.
Elementary in what we think we know. And
right,
until you get to the point where you open your mind to things that you're just not accustomed to and start realizing that we are just one little part of this world. And there'd be places. Yeah, that's point back there in the background. She said, I'm in Antarctica. And I said, oh yeah, that's right there near close to Akron, isn't it?
Yeah. It's right down here by the lower part of my couch. But that's the thing. I travel the world. I've traveled the world for a living. And I never heard of that place before. I mean, and I know there are places around the world that I will never get to go to, but I didn't realize there was a place on the water that was this huge that I had never even heard of before.
Yeah.
There are
yeah.
places I know about that I haven't been to.
I see. Gretchen's with me. She'd go with the moose milk. And Cindy says, great picks, Elizabeth. What an awesome experience.
Yeah. Hi, Cindy.
Elizabeth just got back from visiting Mexico. The wrong side of Mexico. She went to Puerto Vallarta, Mazatlan, and Cabo on the Norwegian Bliss with the girls. It was an all-girls trip, which I enjoy the hell out of. So, because I give them a hard time. So.
Chili wants all right, to go my dear. On all-girls trips. I get it.
This was absolutely wonderful, and I'm certainly glad that I decided to title today's show Thoughts About Antarctica, because that's exactly what the show turned out to be.
There you go. And for those of you who think I don't like cold weather, I don't. But like I said, I truly appreciate what I got to see. And it was an opportunity of a lifetime. I wish everyone could go and see what I got to see. And book it on Oceania. Just saying that. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good cruise line. All right, my dear. I'm sure glad you're home. I enjoy our nightly phone calls too. So, all right, Elizabeth, we'll be talking to you really soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much.
See you guys around.
Okay, see you next time. And that, of course, is Elizabeth on location, Elizabeth Stern from Playa del Carmen, Mexico. I just love Elizabeth to death. All right, before we get on with a little bit of news we have today, I do need to do a couple things. Like, for instance, I got to get up past all of the pictures here. So we need to talk about the Willpower Chair Celebration. This is the spring celebration from Willpower Chairs and Scoot Around. All month long, if you purchase a Model F, that's the fold-up one, that's the lighter weight one, or a Model C2 like I use, which is in that picture, you'll receive $250 toward accessories. Now, that offer is valid till the end of March, March the 31st. That's from the Scoot Around store, or if you call them, whichever. Now, if you go through the Scoot Around store or you call them and use the code CHILLY, just tell them code CHILLY, C-H-I-L-L-I-E, the longest way possible, not only will you get a discount on the chair, you'll also get the $250 for accessories. And that goes from now till the end of the month. So, awesome job from Scoot Around and Will Power Chairs. All right, I'll be back with some news after a real quick break from one of our network sponsors.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And the first story today, folks. Cruise guests may not be able to... Oh, that's not the right picture. Why am I doing that? Hold on here, folks. Here, I went the whole day without screwing something up. That's not what I wanted. Tell me. Oh, there. Okay. It's in the wrong order. All right. Cruise guests may not be able to visit the iconic Southern California destination of Santa Barbara as often now that the community is limiting ship visits to no more than 20 per year. Now, admittedly, Santa Barbara is not a major cruise port in California, not like Los Angeles or San Diego or San Francisco, but still ships stop there. The measure was approved, let's see, this would have been Friday, no, the 15th. Today's the 12th. February 15th, that's when the measure was initially approved by the city's Harbor Commission, along with a variety of other recommendations from the cruise ship work group. While Santa Barbara, which is 95 miles west-northwest of the popular Long Beach cruise home port, has never seen massive cruise traffic with multiple ships visiting every day of the week, the quaint community has become concerned about increased ship visits in recent years. The first ships began visiting Santa Barbara way back in 2002, typically with just a few ship calls per year. After the industry restart following the pandemic, 30 ships started visiting Santa Barbara in 2022. This raised concern about pollution, noise, and other impacts such as an influx of visitors might have on the coastal community, which has a population of fewer than 90,000. My goodness, I thought in California, phone booths had 90,000 people in them. Now the city's Harbor Commission has approved limiting annual ship visits to no more than 20 total calls per year. Santa Barbara is not a common cruise destination, but can make a wonderful visit if it is on the itinerary While the port only sees a handful of ships during the busy months, cruise lines can call on Santa Barbara all year long, including Princess, Holland America, Oceania, Royal Caribbean, Norwegian, and Viking. The city has no dock facility for large ships and therefore is operated as a tender port, with ships anchoring approximately a mile offshore and passengers being ferried to the dock via smaller boats. And that always raises the question, folks, of are those tenders accessible? And that one, it depends on the ship, I guess. So if I was on a ship that stopped there, I don't know if I could get ashore. Most tenders, I can't. I've talked about this many times. Most tenders are two-story. You get off the ship to the second deck of the tender. Then you have to go down a flight of stairs to the first deck, and that's where you get off the tender on the dock. Well, a wheelchair doesn't do that unless it's like the new tenders that Norwegian has purchased for Great Stirrup Cay that have a lift for wheelchairs or scooters. So, just saying. All right, the next story today, folks. Is that the next story today? I'm so confused on the order, so I might have to change this around. Oh, no, that was the ascent. Where'd the ascent go? All right, so we'll back. Reschedule cruise ship dry dock results and cancellation. P&O Cruises Iona, that's what's actually in that picture, initially slated for refurbishment in March of 2025, has been pushed back to October of 25. The announced delays in Iona's refurbishment will cause the cancellation of two slated cruises in October, the October 4th, 2025, and the October 18th, 2025 sailings are the affected cruises. It's not clear if P&O will offer new cruises now that the dry dock has been rescheduled. And, of course, the open spot now in the calendar is from March the 13th of 2025 to April the 1st, which are the original dry dock dates. So, no idea what they're going to do on that. Before I flashed up a picture of a celebrity ascent, which has henceforth disappeared. No, it hasn't. There it is. Okay, so the celebrity ascent, the reason that picture up is that two new cruise ships that debuted in the past year aced their first health inspections that took place early this year. Explorer 1 and Celebrity Ascent, two new cruise ships that made their debut this year, scored perfect 100 during their first health inspections. Congratulations to Explorer 1 and Celebrity Ascent on their first health inspections. All right, so the next story today, folks, is from MSC. All right, so that picture is gone. MSC has reached out. I'm sorry. Somehow or another, it keeps eating pictures. MSC has reached out to guests booked on various sailings of the MSC Seascape to alert them to an itinerary change in Jamaica. While the ship will still be visiting the delightful island nation, the port of call has been changed due to the dock damage sustained during poor weather in February. The damage occurred when Carnival Magic, you probably remember this story, we had it several times, was docked on February the 6th. Rough weather that included strong swells and gusty wind caused pressure on the pier and it partially collapsed, forcing Carnival Magic to temporarily depart with guests ashore. The damaged dock space has been closed since while repairs were underway. For all of the MSC Seascape calls to Ocho Rios, substitute is Falmouth. So that's just right up the coast. Personally, I like Falmouth better than Ocho Rios, but that's me. So that's not a major bad deal, folks. Just saying. All right. Unfortunately, there are not pictures of this one, folks, but I want you to take this from a perverted mind like mine. Two individuals on paddleboards engaged with a large cruise ship in Otago Harbor, signaling the commencement of a new climate action initiative concerning the influx of cruise vessels into New Zealand. The climate activists intercepted the Majestic Princess cruise ship as she departed Port Chalmers, that's Dunedin, at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, displaying a banner with a message that said, "They cruise, we lose." The group sought to draw attention to their cause. Now, I am not being critical of anybody that's protesting over climate change. I'm sorry, but there's a lot of people that don't believe that climate change has actually happened, but everything I see says that, yeah, it is happening. The cruise industry says, yeah, it is happening. That's why they're doing so much to get things in a much better shape in the next 20 years or so. So please do not take this that I'm being critical of anybody that's protesting over climate change. What I find is ridiculous is they took on two paddle boards to take on a cruise ship. I mean, that's absurd. And the cruise ship could just run right over the two paddle boards like nothing. So they separate by 6 feet and they're holding up a sign. You know, that doesn't make any sense. All right. That's going to actually end the news portion of today's show. Let's go over. I've scrolled through the chat room real quickly. Let's go back and see who's fussing at me and if we got any sex bombers back in here today. Gretchen's here. And of course, Laura was here from Ottawa. Gary Older Than Dirt's with us. Good morning, Gary. Mike's here. Hi, Mike. Raymond Aye. Hello, Kim Weiss. Hello, Emily Sear. Hello, gang from up in New York. Says good morning to Elizabeth also. There's Cindy. Hot Air Tom just got home in time to get chilly on the TV and computer. Yeah, Hot Air Tom and Cindy landed back in Richmond about 8:30 this morning. My memory serves me correctly. Our breeze fright. Flight had some flight attendant phone issues, technical sound problems with lots of breaking up, much worse than Chile is at. Wow. Emily says, weather related. And Todd living the dream for Elizabeth. Yes. Pop Pal Dixon, blessings from Gambia and West Africa. Elizabeth, you look blessed. Hello, Todd. How are you? Yes, she is. I was thinking Chile took a big bite out of the iceberg. I said that one. Amazing pictures from Emily. Kim Weiss, you look amazing. Not sure about that one. Excuse me. Good heavens. The Canadian moose milk. I'm going to have to try Canadian Do they have Canadian moose milk on cruise ships? I don't think I've ever seen it on a cruise ship. Might be worth asking. But then I'm going to Canada this fall. I'm sure at some of the Canadian ports I can get Canadian moose milk. That would be interesting. Let's see, where are we now? Gretchen says sounds good. Kenneth's with us up in Pennsylvania. Hey, Kenneth. Emma says long time no see. Yeah, sorry, I've been busy. I opened the store, so I spent most of my time there. Yeah. Congrats on your store. Can't wait to my next cruise. It's with Chili and Tom in March of next year. Seems like a long time away. We'll get there. There's Emily back in the chat room. Now I'm going to go work on her tan once the show is over. And I think she had on her, probably her string bikini under a coverall is what she was wearing this morning. I don't know that for a fact, but I know she's going to go get in the sun again because she's so worried she's lost all of her tan. There's Sunny down in Mississippi. Hi, Sunny. Emily says, I'll be on Seaside next April out of Miami. And Emily says, April of 2025. Gretchen says, oh, never mind. Steve's 8 weeks until his first cruise. Oh, man, I can't wait for that, Steve. You guys are going to absolutely love it. My next one, Cindy says, my next one is MSC Seashore of May of 24 and again in July of 24. Yeah, I caught the 8 weeks thing, Steve. And that's going to Alaska. Sunny says, just got off NCL Bliss on Sunday. Great cruise. Next is August, Alaska on Encore. You were on the Bliss, Sunny, this last week. So was Cindy and the girls. Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize that you were on that, Sunny, or I'd have gotten you guys together. You would have enjoyed Cindy and the girls. I can guarantee on that. I love Cindy. I'm not cruised with the girls, but just knowing how Cindy is on a cruise. Steve's on the Holland America Koningsdam. Gretchen says, 155 days until my Alaska cruise with Chili. Thank you, Gretchen. Someone needs to try Oceania. It's awesome. Gretchen, after I book a cruise, Chili announces one close to my date and I can't go with him. Darn. Sorry, Sonny. Gary says, I'll be with you on that cruise, Gretchen, in August. Yes, he will. Clear your pics from the phone, Gretchen, and transfer them to your computer. There's Robert. Hey, Robert says, good morning. I realize I'm late. Just wanted to at least say hello. Well, it's always good to have you, Robert. He says, hello. Definitely check out the replay. Yeah, this was a good show today, I think. Sorry, you were on Bliss last week. How did I not know that? She was. Yeah. There's Amy. Hi, Amy. Good to see you this morning. Sonny says, Cindy, no way. Shoot, we could have met up. I didn't post it on here as I should have. Yeah, didn't know that at all, Sonny. I played lots of games in the atrium, sang. S- sang something in my BFF one on Deal or No Deal. Oh, yeah. Gretchen says, sound like fun. Cindy Wallace, great. Your BFF one, I was not in the atrium much. Watched Singlio, Beatle comedians, Lenny Schmidt, mini stalker of his, and Dan Gabriel. So, all right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for today. Again, my thanks to Elizabeth, not only for all she's done for me and this channel over the years, but clearly sending all those pictures and giving us the time. I'm glad she's home. I know she'll be back at sea sometime soon, but still, I'd like to make use of the chance time that she's home so I can go visit. That's just me. So I got to find something real soon that goes to Cozumel. So go bargain hunting, maybe this afternoon if things calm down a little. Yesterday was nuts. But anyway, all right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for today. I'll be back same time, same channel tomorrow. Don't forget, smash that thumbs up button. That helps us out tremendously. If you haven't subscribed, take this as my invitation to do so. It's real easy to do. Just smash that little button. The bell notification lets you know when I go live or when a new video is posted. So that's it for today. I'll see everybody tomorrow. As always, stay safe, stay healthy, think about cruising, and hopefully one day soon we'll all get together on the high seas. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy your tanning, Elizabeth. See y'all tomorrow.
I regularly post videos on all facets of the travel and cruise industry, so if you like to keep up with the latest in cruise ships, ports of call, cruises themselves, chilly chats, and travel and cruise industry news, just hit the little subscribe button in the lower right-hand corner. Hit the bell notification so you'll be notified when a new video is up or we go live. This video was produced by Chili's Cruises.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.